Blog Talk Radio.
Apologies, fam. We have finished experiencing a little technical difficulties. We're in the process of getting that worked out. So if you're on the line, just stay on the line and give us a few more minutes, and we will definitely get this situation worked out. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, let's start this over again. Quick prayer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of our Savior, who said HaMashiach, we thank you for allowing us to see another day. We thank you for this Shabbat, Father, this time that you set apart for us, Father. We ask that you forgive us for all our sins. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless us. We thank you for allowing this Shabbat to fall within the Feast of Tabernacles. We ask that you comfort anyone who's hurting physically, mentally, or spiritually, Father, that you comfort them and heal them, Father. We ask that you open up our minds and our hearts, Father, to discuss whatever on our mind, Father, and discuss your word, Father. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, welcome to Blog Talk. Once again, I'm your brother, Dave Well, and it's an open discussion today. You know, we're out here in the Feast of Booths and everything, enjoying this nature, as our brother spoke last night. You know, it's a nice, today is a dry day again, so Dava Ba Abba. You know, we love the rain because Abba drops that rain on us when we do right by him. You know, when we follow his word, that rain, he pours it down as a testament to us that he's happy and he's pleased. You know, but I enjoy this sun too. I enjoy not getting soaked, you know, because sometimes in this time of year, sometimes that rain is cold. And for the first time, I was cold out here the other night. When it was raining so hard, I actually got cold at Sukkot, which is rare to me. Never been cold, you know, but it rained so much and I got so wet that I actually got cold. Bless you, Aki. You know, but today is an open discussion. And one of the things that I've put on my mind is, one, how these feasts, they're joyous times. They're supposed to be joyous times and joyous occasions to us. But much like Israel did in the past, they stopped finding joy in the feast. They stopped finding joy at the times of Shabbat. And their lives interfered with the joy of this feast. You know, what we're going to look at is in the book of Amos. Chapter 8, verse 5. And it says, saying, and this is, he's talking about, well, let's read it, verse 4. Start at verse 4. Amos, chapter 8, verse 4. It says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fall, to fail. saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, by falsifying the balances by deceit? Now, we're just going to stop there. He keeps on going, talking about all the treacherous stuff that Israel was doing, being deceitful towards one another and not looking after their brothers and cheating their brothers and lying to their brothers. But the main focus that we're going to talk about for a little bit is how they wanted the new moon to be gone. They wanted the Sabbath to be over so they can get back to their lives. You know, their lives was cheating people. Their lives was cheating their brother and having unjust balances and wrong scales and stuff like that. But, you know, it was a time when we started, you know, it's something we was just talking about. When we first started keeping the Feast of Booths, everybody was here. Everybody was excited. You know, some of the older kids were a little bit younger. They were excited. You know, and it was a very exciting time where everybody was ready to go. We was like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're finally going to do this. And, you know, it started off with Brother Backyard. Then we went to Teague, and then we went to where we're currently at now, Patapsco State Park. And it might have started off for like a weekend, and then we went and started keeping the whole 7 days. Now it gets to the point where out here before the Shabbat trying, we're going to get to that point where everybody gets out here before the Shabbat, had the sukkah up, you know, so we can bring the feast in all together, one accord correctly, you know. But it was a joy. But over the years, life has its twists and turns. And, you know, everybody's not here now, you know. Everybody's not here. You know, some of the kids who were younger then grew up, and they got a life of their own, you know. But when you look at the younger kids, they really still get excited for this time of year, you know. I was talking to one of my brother's sons, and they were happy. I'm like, hey, you happy? Yeah, I'm ready to go. You know, talk to a couple. When you talk to the children, it's still an excitement of them coming out into the woods, coming out into the wilderness. They're going to, you know, play. They're going to fuss. They're going to be kids out in the wilderness. But they're real excited. And, you know, I was listening to them talk at the table, and somebody said something about a gun. And, you know, and one of the children corrected the other children and said, no, we don't talk about guns when Yahweh's around. You know, so even in the midst of that, he understood why he's out here. He's out here to serve Yahweh. I asked Kanaya, you know, she said, I said, you still happy about it? Yeah. See, I'm a little bored. I said, yeah, but, yeah, I understand. I said, why are you bored? She said, there's nothing to do. I said, you got all this space out here and there's nothing to do? She said, well, right now there's nobody to play with. I said, I understand. I said, but you remember why we out here, right? She said, yeah. He said, why are we out here? He said, because Yahweh told us to be out here. We're being obedient. Right. And from a child's perspective, they understand that part. You know, Abba said, be out here. That's why we're out here. We're being obedient. So that's right. That's why we're out here, to celebrate Yahweh's feast. He asked us to be out here. He wants to meet with us out here. So this is why we're out here. But, you know, a child still finds a lot of joy in this. But, you know, if you can hear in the background, little kids just running around, they following their mom's car or whatever for them to be out here. They having a ball, you know. But sometimes in Israel's, and we see in Israel's history, that the feast days became a burden to them. You know, the Sabbaths became a burden to them, not just the weekly Sabbath, but anything that interferes with their life, you know, the new moons, the Sabbaths. So we can't sell stuff, we can't do this, we can't that. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, when we come together and we, you know, I was just saying, And so a lot of times we don't get to see each other during the week because we're living our life. We got to make money. We got to got kids to take care of. Got bills to pay, this, that, and another. So when we see each other on Shabbat, we're really happy to see one another. You know, I ain't see you all week. How you been? Yada, 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 yada. Well, Abba took that feeling and gave it to you for a whole week.
Hallelujah.
And everybody's not here. You know? So it's a little different when the whole family's not here, when parts are missing. It's like what we were talking about yesterday. Your body can function with one kidney, but it's supposed to run off too when all the parts are there. There's plenty of people out here with one leg that's alive, working and doing everything that everybody else doing. But I guarantee you, I wish he had his other leg to function properly. You know, when parts of the machine aren't here, you know, you feel it. You know, you want people presence and this, that, and another. You know, when our people's had to leave because of the issue, I guess his wife can't need it, had to go. You know, their presence is missed. You know, so we want this to be a joyous thing, and we never want to lose it. You know, we that's supposed to be ingrained in us. It should be a joy just to think that the Father set apart time just for us. Set apart time, he said, okay, I'm running the universe, but every last day of the week, I want to talk to you. And then the head of the year, on the 14th day, I want to talk to you. And on this day, I want to talk to you. I need to meet with you, you know, on these days. And then at the very end, for 7 days, come on out in this wilderness and chill with me. You know, that should be a joy. That should be something that is always making us happy, making us joyful. But, you know, sometimes us being human, we start to take things for granted. And we go, well, I really want to go out there because if I go out there, I might miss this money. I mean, I know I can work, but I might be late. I can give me a couple extra overtimes if I do this or whatever the reason. You know, whatever the reason that hinders us not coming together. You know. And one more verse before anybody can say what they want to say. You know. In Jeremiah chapter 17, starting at verse 21. It says, thus saith Yahweh, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instructions. So, verse 24, I'm sorry. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith Yahweh, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do it, hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. So these Sabbath days are important, you know, and us bearing burdens on them, we're not supposed to do that. Can y'all still hear me like this? Okay. You're not supposed to be bearing burdens on this Sabbath day. You know, so when we putting stuff above it, when we doing our own will, it was another verse that talks about if we turn our foot from doing our own will on the Sabbath day, then he'll do good things for us. I can't remember all the good things they would do for us, but I know one of them was turning captivity and healing the land, you know. So the Shabbat is real important, you know, and it's a great thing that we're out here and we're doing this, you know, and, you know, me, I still get excited. I love this time of year. This is,
amen.
For me, this is it for me. This is like the pinnacle, you know, of the year for me. When I get to be out here in the wilderness, my brothers and sisters,
hallelujah.
You know, I'm away from stuff. I get when my phone rings. You know, a lot. That's why I keep it dead all the time. That way it can't ring. You know, I'll call my son. I'll call my daughter. After that, it's dead, you know. But I don't want to be bothered. This time is supposed to get us away from the burdens of life, like we just read. You know, that's what the Shabbat is for. It's to rest from all your work, you know. It's to get away from all your burdens. It's to get away from all your, release those things, you know, and have your troubles away from you. That's what it's for. That's why he designed it, you know. He said the Shabbat was made for man, not man for the Shabbat. You know, this is time that I set up. I had you in mind when I stopped working and I hallowed this day. When I made this day different from every other day, I had my creation in mind when I, you know, this time of year should be a joy for everybody. You know, we shouldn't be burdened. We shouldn't be laden with stuff. You know, our minds should be focused. And again, you know, it's a holy convocation. This is time to, like you just read, time to receive instructions. Every Shabbat is a time to receive instructions. This is the time when he say, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to dispense my word to you. I'm going to tell you some stuff to make you understand some things. Now, sure, I can do that all throughout the week. Whichever day I so please, I can do that. But know that you're going to get it on this day all the time. All the time. This is your guarantee. If you feel as though you didn't talk to Abba Monday, Sunday through Friday, come Friday night, that instructions are coming. Time that you really need to pay attention, because you know he's talking on this day. If you don't think he's talking throughout the week, fine. Know that he's talking on this day. You know. And once you start this day, maybe you can hear him a little bit clear out of the week. You know, because this is something to build on. How do we know that? All his feast days are built on the Sabbath.
Amen.
Every last one.
Amen.
You know. So you take the Sabbath and you count seven Sabbaths. And then the next day. And then, you know, all his feast days, we've been through it. We know these things. All his feast days are built upon the Sabbath. He builds stuff around this day. This is time for instructions. So any questions or comments, just open discussion. If y'all want to talk about that, whatever's on your mind. Any questions y'all feel like it, you got a whole bunch of knowledge out here right now.
And it's a comment.
Yes, sir.
So what you were just talking about. And what comes to mind is something that happened years ago. And when Rabbi was alive, he would start Bible studies. And in the beginning of the Bible studies, everybody was there. Then as the weeks passed, the group starts to dwindle down and less people start to come and less people start to come. And I think that's what happens in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, when we started off doing this, everybody was excited about coming out here. And even to the point where throughout the course of the week, we was together singing every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, but something happened. And I think what happened, life happens in the life of the people and their attentions are drawn away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, something that you were talking about recently, and I was looking at this passage. And this is in the parable of the sower. And in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, and some fell among thorns,
mm-hmm.
and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But when you look down to verse 22, where he actually explains that, it says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world. Now, when it says the care of this world, you look up that word care. In the Greek, it's a word merimna.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's from another term, number 3307. The word merimna is from 3308. But it says it's from the other term, but then it has in parenthesis, through the idea of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So we're talking about the cares of this world. And it has this term, solicitude. But when you look up the word solicitude, it means care or concern for someone or something. So what happens is that we start to develop a care or concern for other things outside of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe a lot of times we don't want to admit that, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, excuse me, what happens to that level of enthusiasm? You see, one of the things that we talked about before, when we think about the stories that we have in the Bible, a lot of times we may be led to believe that everything was always exciting. But he didn't put every detail of every person's life.
Okay.
He picked certain events out of their lives. But when we read these stories, we think it was just event after event after event, but it wasn't.
That's right.
So sometimes we just need to realize when you're serving the Creator, you're going to have regular days. It doesn't mean that the Creator is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have days where you get up, go to work, do whatever you do, come home and do whatever you do, go to sleep, wake up the next day, start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure many of the patriarchs and the other Israelites during the history of the, well, we're still in that history, during the history that we have recorded,
mm-hmm.
they had regular days. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times what happens, people feel like, well, nothing's being done. There's a lot being done, you know. But in the person's mind, they may feel some way that maybe I'm not doing enough. Well, we can only do what the Creator moves us to do.
Right.
And that's something I've learned from experience. When Rabbi passed away, well, before Rabbi passed away, and people don't know, hey, Rabbi, I got this idea, got that idea, let's do this, let's do that. No, couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he passed away, in my mind, now, and I'm thinking all the things that he didn't do, I'm going to do. To what avail, though? So we done did all these different things, but to what avail? You see, we can, and that's what I had to learn. I had to learn that you can only move when the Creator wants you to move.
Mm-hmm.
You can put forth all this effort to put all this information out if you want to. It doesn't mean anything if the Creator is not moving it.
Right, right.
There's a lot of good information that we went through. I mean, we did some assets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People know. But then there comes a time when, okay, you need to refocus. You need to regroup. You need to get back to the basics. And I believe that's where he's leading us now, which is why we're starting over. You know, we're going through the Torah, and, you know, we looked at Shemot, and we're currently looking. Well, we're not finished looking at Shemot, and by no means. We just
mm-hmm.
started looking at Shemot again. We started looking at Vayikra again, you know, just to go through and help people to better understand some things, you know. In addition to the fact that you got people, their attention not only from, as I said, the cares of this world, he continues, and the deceitfulness of riches.
Mm-hmm.
Riches. And it says, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Mm.
So that's what happens a lot of times. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, chokes the word. Now, when you think about something being choked, if somebody has their hand wrapped around your neck and you're being choked, what are they doing? They're cutting off that breath.
That's right.
You can't breathe. So what we do, spiritually speaking, if what they're doing, they're choking the word. I mean, if we're receiving the word and we understand the word descends upon us because it's revelation,
mm-hmm.
right, by his spirit. So if the word is being choked, that means that life source has now been cut off and we're not receiving it anymore.
Right.
So what do? We scatter. And this is what happens. You know, you lose the enthusiasm. Matter of fact, I believe one of the brothers was talking about returning to your first love.
Mm-hmm.
We lose that. Because we're so concerned about everything happening around us, we're starting to lose focus on the reason why we do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, one of the things that Yahushua said, we got to be like babes. We got to be like the children, you know, because the children's like, they're happy. They're ready to go. You know, I got this space. I'm going to be out here with this people, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, my brother say, yeah, we going to Hallelujah Camp. That's what his kids say. We're going to Hallelujah Camp. That's what they call it. You know, because that's what they associate this time of year with. You know, and they know when it's coming. The children know when Sukkot comes. They pay attention to it. You know, they pay attention sometimes more than us. You know, they know what this time of year represents. You know, Told I Keith. Anybody else got any comments or questions about anything? You know, or any other questions or anything that's on your mind? You know, but that's one thing, you know, because he don't give us these stories for nothing. You know, we can go through the word where it talks about how Israel acted towards the Sabbath, how they profaned it, how they this, that, and it's endless amounts of charges that Yahweh brings against us in regards to just his Sabbaths, you know, how people were acting towards the Sabbath. Like, you're not supposed to profane the Sabbath. You're not supposed to have burdens on the Sabbath. You're cheating people. You don't want to be. And it got to the point where he said, look, your new moon feast, all that stuff, keep it. Don't offer me nothing up. I don't want it. You know, because y'all not doing it in the right frame of mind. You know? Go ahead, Aki.
What came to my mind was when you and Ravi brought up that point, Joshua chapter 24, before he went away off the scene. And we know after Joshua, we didn't have nothing but, just judges, correct?
Mm.
Correct me wrong. And Joshua made that statement, I think it was 24:15, he said, as for my house, we're going to follow Yah. You have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. It still go back to Deuteronomy, like, put before you fire and water.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives you that, he said, I prefer you to choose life, not to death. And that's what came to my mind, like when Rabbi was reading the parable of Matthew 13, and then you was reading Amos and Jeremiah, the things about what they're doing to the, you know, to the Sabbath or on the Sabbath day. You had to make that choice. And then you had to believe your faith, like what he commands about this particular, all of the Sabbath, but this particular feast here,
mm-hmm.
he said, I want you to do that feast and the follower, the enemy, your land, you know, no, anything about attack your land or whatever you left back home.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be all good because I told you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to have provision to provide for you to do. That's what I, you know, that's what I learned. If he leads you to something, he's going to lead you through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be, like Rabbi had gave an illustration, I think it was Thursday night. He was talking to us in the tent. Like you had to have that faith. Like he put that in front of you, but you now you have to step in it. And then he's going to keep on leading.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, my sheep hear my voice. I tell them to do something, they hear my voice. And then they follow me. They won't follow another sheep.
Oh, that. That's right. And it's always down to choice. It's always going to be a choice. Because Abba don't make us do anything. It's like the brother said. He sets fire and water, but he also says, choose which one you want. You know, you pick whichever one you want. That's what you're going to get. I'm telling you to pick water. But if you want the fire, you're going to get it. I'm not going to withhold that from you. Because, you know, some kids are just hard-headed. And you learn that in Sukkot. Some kids are just hard-headed. I mean, you know, as a child, not just a Sukkot. Some children are general hard-headed. You know, I was a hard-headed kid. You know, my parents got on me bad. I got many a whipping. You know, I'm glad we wasn't keeping Sukkot back then because there's a lot of switches out here. You know, I mean, what, two of my behinds up. You know, but that's part of learning. You know, it's part of learning. You know, it's a song we used to sing, you know. And Psalms chapter 92. And when the man wrote this, I'm not sure if David wrote this, but whoever wrote this, they wrote this specifically for the Sabbath day.
Amen.
You know, it says, a song or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. But thou, Yahweh, hast made me glad through thy work.
Mm.
I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Yahweh, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But you, Yahweh, art most high forever. For lo, thy enemies, O Yahweh, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of it says unicorn, but that's not it. Ox, a wild bull. That's what it means. Ain't no unicorns. He said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye shall also see my desire on my enemies, and my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of Almighty One. They shall bring forth fruit in the old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And we sing this in the springtime on the Shabbat. But if you think about the words, ain't no sadness in this song. There's no sadness in this song. They're doing wrong. But Yahweh, I know you on high. I know you got my back. You know? There's workers of iniquity about. But you, Yahweh, are mighty one forever. You're on high forever. And I know that you honor the upright. You do what's right for those who are righteous. You know? I don't have to be overtaken. I don't have to worry about being overtaken by ungodly people or workers of iniquity, because you're on high. You know? There's no sadness on this song. And it's like that because the Shabbat day ain't supposed to be a day of sadness. It's not supposed to be a day that you're laden with burdens. None of them. You know? He gives us, what is it, 58 of them or something like that? It's 52 regular Shabbats most years. 69? And he gives us a lot of days that we ain't never supposed to be upset. Mm-hmm. You know? He gives us the weekly vacation, the weekly time to shed your burdens and to be happy. You know? Times that, again, if you feel as though, because I know sometimes that creeps in on us. I was not talking to us, I was not doing this, I was not doing that. You know, I don't feel you, Father. But he does, he on this day, know that he talks, you know. He always dispelling that every week, if you allow it. Drop your burdens, like we read in Jeremiah. Don't bring no burdens in the gates of Jerusalem, you know, within yourself. Get rid of those burdens on the Shabbat day. That's what he's saying, you know. Like the brother, one of my brothers posted, I am Israel, I am Jerusalem. Well, if you are Jerusalem, if you are Israel, drop those burdens at the gate. Keep them outside of Jerusalem. Keep them outside of Israel, especially on this Shabbat day. You know, because this is what's supposed to be happening. You know, our Father did not call us together, to commune together, for us to be upset at one another and have burdens and be, who, what father, he has children everywhere. He calls all his kids together, wants to see their kids all looking mopey and this, that, and another. And man, I get my kids together. If I have I have a natural son, a natural daughter, mm-hmm. I don't want them two to be at odds if they're around me. Right. You know, my son got a nephew. He got two nieces. What would it look like, all of them together? That's my posterity. And they all moping and sad and this, that, and that. Who wants to be? No, I don't want that. And he definitely don't want it for his kids. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear now? Can you hear now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Everybody's here can hear me. Yeah, but what father wants to be around their kids? You know, he calls them together to be joyous, and they moping and this and all that. Nah, Abba didn't call us together for that. He called us together because he wants his kids to fellowship with one another, smile, and have good times, have those good memories together. You know, we shouldn't have burdens, especially burdens outside of, if you got issue with your brother, you know what you're supposed to do. And especially get it done before the Shabbat. You know, he said, if you bring your offering to the altar and then you remember you got a burden with your brother, take care of it, because that relationship is what's really important. You know, what can you offer the one who created everything, honestly? You know, so sure, your offering is nice. It's a nice token. But what he really wants is for you, your relationship. He said, how you treat me and how you treat your brother. That's what the whole law hangs on. Treat me and how you treat your brother. You know, you could take whichever law you want. It falls under those two. So that's what's really important. And I think, you know, we can't lose sight of that. You know, because if we have sight of that, if there's an issue, that means you might have something hindering you and you're not as joyous as you could be. You know, what he wants is a maximum, complete joyness. You know, if y'all understand what I'm saying, you know, when he sees that, shalom, brother, shalom. When you walk, bam, you know, it's like a friend you grew up with and you think about and you haven't seen him in 20 years and you finally see that brother, whoa, what's up, man? Or that cousin, your favorite cousin, who you haven't seen in a while, and you finally see each other. It's like long lost brothers, long lost, you know, that's what he wants. And he wants that every day, every Shabbat. He wants that to be a real thing to us, you know. So that joy that we have for one another and that joy that we have serving him, he wants that to be a real thing for us that never leaves our heart. You know, this is one of the joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something we're supposed to be producing, you know. And one of those things, how we produce it, is coming out here, getting that instruction. It should be a joyous time. You know, everybody should be. But again, everybody's not experiencing this because of what the brother said. The thorns is choking them out. Cares of the world and got them. They got distracted, you know, for whatever reason, you know. So they're missing out. And, you know, I feel some type of way because they're not here. You know, but that's their choice. I can't lie. That's their choice. But it do make you feel some type of way because you want for your brother, like you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you want people out here. You want everybody to experience the goodness of the Most High. Mm-hmm. You know, but you can't force it on. You know, so what do you do? Any other comments or questions about anything? And y'all can ask a question about anything. If y'all understand something, y'all need us to discuss some stuff, like the brother said, seek the law of the priest lips. You got a whole bunch of priests out here right now. It's a priestly gathering. Oh, if y'all got any questions, text it in. You know? Yes, sir.
Well,
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Love you, my brother.
Love you too, Aki.
Listen, coming over and all that everybody was saying and all, and it's right. It's not so much as the outside influences of the world, but how we deal with them here in our minds is what making the choking so prevalent. And it's killing us and separating us. Yahshua said about praying and singing all the time, which another way of just saying it is continue to speak that word. Why? Because your spiritual man needs it. so you can keep your mind strong and not allow the carnal nature and the spirit of the flesh to overcome you and choke you out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why we need to talk, and especially when we all together, we need to talk about that word. We need to talk about the good things. We have to share our bad experiences, but not just the bad experiences. We share them because we want everybody to know how Yahweh delivered us
mm-hmm.
from those bad experiences. And that uplifts everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a constant thing. I listened, brother says, anybody, it took a little while for anybody to make a comment or anything. Like a rabbi, he made a good teaching there, and a few others commented. But where we should be, when a brother asked that, everybody should be busting, waiting to get that little input. But it's here. If it's not happening, it's because what's happening up here in our minds that's holding us back from feeling the joy that we should be. The spirit in us, it wants to please Yahweh. It wants to give praise to Yahweh. Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Most High with all thy heart, that's here, the mind, all our being, every bit of strength in our body, and all our resources. I mean, everything that he has blessed us with, give honor to Yahweh with those things. So that means it leaves nothing outside of giving honor to Yahweh. Why? Because it makes our spirit joyful. Because that's Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a God that's so far that we can't reach. He's right in the midst. This is where he's at. And when we need to come to each other, one say, hey, man, let's talk to this. Entreat the person.
Mm-hmm.
Speak it. Because that means what he's really asking is, I need someone to speak the word of, to strengthen me. And that's how I'm strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of us. And I think that's one more of the things we need to keep at the forefront of our minds. We, not even if we don't feel like for ourselves, let us feel like it for our brothers and our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
That's right. And another thing, you know, another way that Israel went wrong, you know, that we have, that Abba had an issue with. He picked Abraham because he said, I know this is a man who will teach his kids. That's what he said about Abraham. Mm-hmm. You know, this man believes in me, and I know that he's going to teach his kids. But as we look through the Chronicles of Israel that's written down, they weren't teaching their kids. You know, it was a disconnect. Really needs to be imparted with them. Now, kids grew up in this. A lot of the kids here grew up in this, you know, and they know stuff. Then you have some kids who didn't so much, who weren't, quote unquote, born into it, you know, and they're coming in and they're learning stuff. But that's what the Most High focuses on also. You know, it's kind of like a twofold thing where I'm teaching you so you'll never forget this, you know. So hopefully they'll choose right. And even if they depart, they can't say they didn't know. You know, they just made a choice to go another way. You know, but some of those kids are going to grasp on. Some of them are. They're going to. You know, some of them are going to hold on because we had the story of the Rechabites. The Rechabites listened. A command was given from like their grandfather, their great grandfather, something like that, and they was holding on to it 5 and 6 generations later. And Yahweh praised them for that. So some kids are going to choose the ways of the Most High. Some kids are going to be obedient to Abba. Some kids ain't,
right.
You know. But if they were never taught, like when we read inside of the Chronicles of Israel that we call the Bible, Israel wasn't teaching their kids sometimes. They weren't teaching their kids a lot of things because they were going astray. What the words say is that by the time you get to the times of Nehemiah, They didn't keep this feast since the days of Joshua.
Right.
And plenty of time had passed. You're talking about probably 1,000 years. You know, probably 1,000 years had passed where Israel was not doing what the Most High said to do. Because from the time of Joshua, you have, after Joshua died, you have all the time of the judges. You have all the time of the kings. You have the split after that. Then you have the captivity. And then they're coming out of the captivity, starting to rebuild the temple.
Right.
And now they're just discovering this again.
Right.
You know, so a lot of time had passed. So Israel was not teaching their kids.
Right.
And that's one thing that the Most High wants. That's the reason why he chose Abraham, you know. So bringing these kids out here and them getting this experience, you know, that's, and I really think that's really why they have this experience and they get, and they're excited, and they're excited, they're excited. Then maybe as they get older and the world tries to catch up to them, how do we keep that excitement with the kids? Because now I got iPhone, I got this, I got a place girlfriend, I got boyfriend, I got all these distractions. You know, I got all these worldly things that I can do. And Sukkot just ain't pretty no more. Sukkot then lost some of its luster. You know, so why should I go out there? Right? I can spend time with my boo. You know? Not saying that it's up to us to do that, but in their minds, you know, and in their, it is up to us to do this, to retell them and always install in their minds how important these feasts are, Shabbat is, and this, that, and another, you know, because a lot of people make a lot of money on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and make money on the weekends, you know, and a lot of times you get that incentive to do that, like we were talking about working overnight. You know, you work overnight Friday night, you working on the Shabbat. You're breaking the Shabbat. You're not supposed to be doing the work that night. You know, but it's extra money there. And I can have me a couple extra dollars in my pocket because it can alleviate this and alleviate that. You know, but what we have to do as parents, elders, is continue to keep that the importance. You can't make it exciting for them. Only they can make what they want to be exciting for them. But you can stress the importance to them of the Most High to them. You know, look, son, look, daughter. Yahweh set this time apart. Don't forget that. This is a very important time. You know, and that's, I mean, and even though they know it, sometimes it's good to give them a reminder. You know, because he gives us reminders, even though there's things that we know that we ought not do. You know, any other questions or comments about anything? Any questions in general?
Well, I got a comment.
Oh, comment.
Well, as far as people not being out here, and I just wanted to say that would exclude anybody who is considered to be Nida.
Right.
You know, like we were discussing a few days ago, from my understanding, several are not out here because of that.
Right.
And in a situation like that, you're still keeping Torah.
Right.
You know, I had a brief conversation with a sister last night, and it was in regard to Nida. Now, with Nida, the question that was asked is, what do I do as far as keeping the commandments when it comes to Nida? Well, the answer that was given was when you are observing Nida, you are keeping the commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that the Most High commanded. You know, so you are keeping the commandment. But I think what it is with the Nida sisters, the question is whether or not they can still fulfill this obligation of the building of the booth and dwelling in the booth. In that sense, you can, if you have the access or the availability to do this, you can build a booth or put up a tent in your yard if you have that type of space,
mm-hmm.
and you can keep the commandment that way.
Mm-hmm.
That way you still be fulfilling the obligation. It was mentioned in regard to being out here. Well, all the other people are out here. So we've been coming out here, and I just, we talked about this yesterday, since 2008. So it's 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
We've been coming out to this one. Throughout the time that we've been coming out here, how many people from other sites ever come to our camp site?
None.
Okay, so it's exactly none. So to mention, well, what about the other people out here? Well, none of these people never wandering on to our site, and we don't be wandering on to their site. Whoever, whatever site you have, you and the members of that site are the only ones that normally be there. We may go back and forth between our own personal sites, but we never have other people coming on our site sitting among us like that.
Right.
You know? So it up to this point, nobody that could have potentially been unclean have made any of our sites unclean, you know? Unless they come while we are away from the site,
right?
Which I doubt very seriously if they would do something like that. But it's always possible. Now, in a case where, let's say, you have a group of people out here, and they're interested in what we're doing, and that can be a man and a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that this person does come around. Let's say they want to sit, they want to hear the word. What do we do in that case? Do we ask whether she's on her menstrual? No, we don't ask that. Because now, this is where, and it's a matter of how you use the grace and the mercy of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we pray, one of the things that we should be doing is praying for the sin that we commit knowingly and unknowingly. Okay? No, we don't question that. Hold up. Are you on your mercy? No, you don't do it.
Right.
Let them come. Let them hear the word. Let them get that seed. Or let them get that water so that the Creator can give the increase. At some point in time, if they should come this way, they'll learn what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we need to keep these things in the forefront of our mind. We don't want to, and this is how the adversary oftentimes works. He brings up these types of questions because he's trying to bring about division.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with asking a question like that. So we're talking about it now.
Right.
A situation happened in regard to somebody not coming out, but then eventually came out. Okay. So this situation was regarding, and my apologies if this is offensive to anybody, but this is an issue. Okay. Now, the brothers and I will get together. We'll discuss a little further why a certain decision was made. If this was something that needs to be changed, by all means, we have no problem changing it. But this is the understanding. When you look in Leviticus chapter 15, and it mentions about a woman in that time of the month, the word that it uses, it says issue. Now, if you look up the word in the Hebrew, the word means to flow. So in that understanding, a woman is on her menstrual when she starts to flow. Now, this is what has been determined. And this is the purpose why, and this is one of the reasons where that when you get into a lot of the Talmudic teachings and the Mishnah and things like that, this is where some of that information is good and it is handy, okay? Because every situation is not the same.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a case where a woman is what they refer to as spotting, right, that means that she saw some blood in her urine or something like that. Okay, what are you supposed to do in a situation like that? Because it's not a full flow. Well, what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to wait till the next day, sunset, you check again. If you're still spotting, then you are unclean, because that would indicate something that's continuous.
Uh-huh.
If you don't spot after the sunset, you are only unclean until the sunset because it wasn't a full flow. Okay? Exactly. So now you're clean. So people need to understand that. All right? These are some of the determinations that had to be made because every situation was not the same.
Right.
And this is where the men come together and they discuss these issues. And I think another thing, when we get into, matter of fact, let's do this, my brother. We looked at a passage last night, Malachi 2:7, right? Seeking the law from the priest's lips, correct? So if somebody has a question, this is the route they're supposed to go. Now, let's go to look at Deuteronomy 17. Let's build on that just a little bit. It says in verse 8, if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which Yahweh, your mighty one, shall choose. You shall come unto the priest, the Levite, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. That means they're going to give you the governing, how the situation should be handled. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, which they of that place, which Yahweh shall choose, shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the Torah, which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand nor to the left. So when you get to a part like that, if the leadership, the elder, give a sentence pertaining to a matter, until the Creator say, follow.
That's right.
Now, people may have a question. Well, I disagree with this, that, and whatever. Okay, if you have a disagreement, what do? Take it to the Most High and pray it. And if it's something that needs to be changed, by all means. I don't think I would have a problem telling us to change anything.
Nope.
What do you got to fear? He'll tell us. And if you're serving the Most High, we should not have a problem changing it if he say, no, it shouldn't be that way.
That's right.
But until that happens, that's what it is.
That's right.
Now, there's another passage, if you don't mind.
Don't mind.
All right. And this is coming from the New Testament. Now, give me a second. I'm gonna look up this passage. And it's something that we oftentimes say, but we don't say it in the right context. And here it is. This is Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. We'll read on through. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the assembly, then it be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And when it says the assembly, it's not talking about the whole congregation.
That's right.
It's talking about the elders. Okay? It says, verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. This is talking about what we read in Leviticus. This is talking about judgment. Whatever the priests give as a judgment. And whatsoever ye shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in the heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And that's what we oftentimes we use that in the wrong context. It's talking about when two or three are coming together in judgment. So that's why one of the things that you find when you have an assembly set up, there should be what we call a bet din, house of judgment. There should be three elders that come together to rule on different situations. Okay? Now, as of right now, to Nida, if a woman is spotty, but she doesn't have a full flow, she's unclean till the evening because it's not a full flow. And if that's what the Torah said, you can look it up in Leviticus chapter 15. The word issue means to flow. It's not flowing. But if she spots 2 days in a row, that is considered to be a flow because it's continuation. So hopefully everybody can understand that. All right? If anybody have any questions, pray about it. Present the questions to the elders, and we'll touch on it. Okay? There have been a lot of different issues that have been popping up. Now, I've talked to the brothers on different occasions. There are things that we need to make rulings on. And that's the way it has to be, you know. So that's all I want to say. That's nothing else given to me by the Most High.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on.
Hallelujah. The only way the house get in order, back.
Look. You know, that's a real, when you read in Deuteronomy, you know, the priest gives the sentence, the people have to abide by the sentence.
Right.
They have to accept it. And when it's time to change it, he will change it.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, again, we have witnesses within the word. When I forget who died, but he had all daughters.
Right.
And they wanted, they was like, okay, we have rights to this land. Now, I forget who died, but, huh? Yeah. 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 He didn't have any sons. And so by right, they didn't have any claim to this land. So they went to the elders and they say, look, our father died without no sons and this is his land. We have rights to this.
Mm-hmm.
Most High said, you're correct.
Amen.
And he changed what was going on at that time. He said, look, you just find you a husband within the tribe and it stays that part of that inheritance. So they're not losing out on any of the inheritance.
Amen.
But the Most High, he's a father. And I don't think that can be stressed enough. He understands exactly what we're going through. He's compassionate. He's merciful. And he thinks. He's like, what? Will that be fair to take part of this inheritance and give him, let's say, this was the tribe of Ephraim, and they marry a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Well, that part of the inheritance goes to Benjamin. Will it be right for me to take this inheritance from Ephraim and give it to him? No. This is what you do. Find somebody within that tribe, marry them, that way it stays with them there, and that's it. That's the ruling. So he works with us, you know, and he's willing to change things as need be. Like, look, this situation is a special situation. So now let's not change, let's alter, let's refine, or whatever words you want to use. I'm going to make my law fit this situation without breaking it, you know. But any other comments or questions about anything? All right, we're going to close up. Let the Sabbath be a joy, you know. Don't ever lose the joy of this time. This is the time that Abba set before us, you know, time for us to be around him. And you know, don't ever let this be a burden. Don't ever let this be something outside of what Abba says it is. You know, a meeting time for him, a time of joy, a time of it's a feast. You know, it's a feast. It's a holy gathering. It's a time to feast, a time to be one with one another, one with him. All right. So, everybody, bow their heads and hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all, Father. Once again, thank us for the birth. We thank you for the breath of life, Father. We thank you for all the gifts that you continue to grow within us, Father. Let that fruit of joy, let that spirit of joy overflow in us, Father, especially on this day, Father. Let no burden be with us, Father. Father, allow us to experience you this day and every day, but especially on your Shabbat, Father, that time that you set apart for us, Father. We ask that you open up our brother Shafu'al's eyes and his ears and his mind to your word, Father, and let him bring forth your word to edify us, Father. Continue to grow us, put your word within him, and allow him to speak mightily and joyfully to us, Father. For this time, Father, is our time, Father, and there's none like it within this world, Father. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for sanctifying us, Father, and thank you for continually watching over us, Father. Thank you for chastising us when we go to the left or to the right, because you only want our good, Father. Thank you for being there for us and always. In Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
copy.
He's nice. Come on,
we just sing songs.
I was singing nice too. You brought it up.
Yeah.